is power in the name of Jesus. And the greatest gift God has ever given man is himself. In Jesus Christ. And there's power. It's a powerful name. It's a powerful name. Warren Henley, I am in need of your help this morning. Please, sir, would you mind coming up here for a second? He is not in trouble. He is not in trouble. But I know some things about this man. All right? And I'm sure you know some things about this man, and we probably know some of the same things about this man. But one thing that I know about this man is he has a favorite word. Warren Henley, would you please tell the crowd what you find in the Bible is your favorite theme and word in Scripture?
Peace.
And why is that?
Because the Lord says, hey, I'll give you my peace. And he did. He washed me in peace.
Amen.
And let me live.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.
See, I didn't embarrass you. You weren't in trouble. I didn't even tell all those secret things I know about you. But peace is a great gift of the Lord. And it is of the Lord. And I want to show you that in John chapter 14:27, if you'll find there. John chapter 14. And I believe they have these verses for the screen. But what was revealed to me this week is that while God says, I give you my peace, and he didn't say, you know, I'm going to give you a chance to earn my peace. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a chance to prove that you're worthy of my peace. He says, I'm going to give you my peace. Here it is in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. These are the words of Jesus. He said, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You see, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with my peace. My peace. Not the peace that you know that the world has to offer. I'm offering you the peace that passes all understanding. The peace that people can't explain. The people you can't explain. The people you can't understand, but you know it's real. That's the peace I'm leaving with you. Not peace of mind, peace of, you know, peace of my bank account, peace of not violent in my home. I'm giving you peace in the midst of all that. That you can't even understand. Here's the problem, okay? Here's the trouble with this thought. Jesus has already given us peace, but it doesn't always feel peaceful. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that there is trouble with the word. When I said there's trouble with this thought, there's not trouble with the word. And if there is trouble with this thought, the trouble comes from us not believing or trusting or receiving the gift of peace. Okay? We want peace. We look for peace. We try to create peace. But we aren't fully grasping the statement Jesus made when he said that he doesn't give the gift of peace as the world gives. And we spend our time looking for worldly peace when that's not what Jesus said, I'm giving you. He said his peace is different. Maybe all we understand is what we've seen or what we can even imagine. And we cannot grasp otherworldly things like the peace of God. Now, when I think of peace, when we think of peace, we think of peace as being the absence of conflict. Okay, we have peace officers there to ensure, or when things get unpeaceful, they're one of their jobs is to come and restore peace. And we think that that means peace is when the conflict is no longer there. So we pray for peace. But what we're asking for is a change in our circumstances. But what Jesus here is talking about is not the absence of conflict. Jesus is talking about a peace that manifests itself right smack dab in the middle of the storms of life. Last week we talked about Peter. Y'all remember Peter got out of the boat? He started walking towards Jesus on the water. We got afraid. because of the storm, which was an unpeaceful situation, and he began to sink. The Bible says he got afraid. He was scared. He began to sink. Jesus reached out. He rescued him. And then together they walked back to the boat. Okay? Now the storm was still raging on their journey back to the boat, because the scripture tells us that it calmed down after they climbed into the boat. So if Peter got afraid because of the storm walking towards Jesus, right? That's true from scripture. What made the difference on the stormy walk back to the boat in the same storm? It was the presence of Jesus. It was Peter's proximity to Jesus, his closeness to Jesus Christ. It was the peace that Jesus gives. He's the same Peter. It's the same storm. Same circumstances, just different perception of the circumstances. So we're looking for an out there kind of peace. We're looking for, I want peace in my home. I want peace in my job. I want peace in my creditors that keep calling. I want them to have peace, and because there's money there to pay them. We want peace. We want an outside peace, but Jesus gives an in-here kind of peace. It's what stabilizes us. It's what strengthens us. It's what encourages us in the midst of stormy weather. As Christians, we sometimes ask God for peace, right? Have you ever asked God for peace? Yeah, I have. And while that sounds really good on the surface, and I'm not saying we're wrong to ask for that, but I'm saying we need to be clear on what we're asking God for. Okay, we're asking Him for something that He's already given. My peace I leave with you. When Jesus left the earth to go back to the Father, He left with us His peace. We're asking for God to give us something He's already given. Now, just go with me here for a second, all right? Because this thought is kind of abstract, and I'm having a hard time even trying to convey it. But the trouble is not that we don't have peace, because as children of God, we are the recipients of His peace. It's not that we don't have His peace, but it's usually that there is something within us that is disturbing the peace. And that's the title of my message today, Disturbing the Peace. Now, you can get arrested for disturbing the peace. Amen. Amen. And that's a good thing when that needs to occur. Thank God that we have people to help restore that outer peace. Okay? But the policeman can't restore my inner peace. How often do we allow something that is disturbing our inner peace to go completely unchecked? I'm going to look at just three things today. Now, there are a lot more things that disturb our inner peace. A lot of things can disturb our peace. I'm just going to look at three, because we would be here until Christmas Day if we talked about all the things of this world that we allow to disturb our inner peace. The first one I want to mention is unexpressed gratitude. That may sound strange to you if I don't express gratitude, that causes an unpeaceful situation within my life, but it can. Gratitude and appreciation are closely related, but they're not the same thing, okay? I want to be clear on that. Gratitude and appreciation are closely related, but they're not the same thing. I'm not talking about saying thank you and being polite, tipping the waitstaff and things like that. That is showing appreciation, all right? I'm talking about conditioning our hearts to live from an attitude of gratitude. And there's a connection between gratitude and peace. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. It's right there in Scripture. There's a connection between peace and gratitude. And thankfulness just may be the key. And if you're interested in trying an experiment this week, then I want you to do this. Start your day telling God thanks for everything. I mean, start telling God thanks for your kids, for your job, for your spouse, for your parents, for your dogs, for your cats, for His provision for you, for your health, and so forth. Even if you're mad at your husband, tell God thanks for your husband. Even if your kids are bad, tell God thanks for your kids. Even if your dog ate your shoe, even if you hate cats, even if you have a cold and you don't have enough money to buy cold medicine. I believe that if we will express our appreciation first to God, that we will begin to discover the peace that He's already given. You see, the dog isn't always eating shoes, just occasionally, right? The cat does keep mice and snakes at bay around the house. So even when I'm mad at the cat, I can say thanks for the cat. And the kids, well, every once in a while, they do something that's good. And so, God, I thank you for my kids. The husband, even though he never quite makes it, at least he tries to understand me. Come on, y'all know I'm real. And guess what? You may be sick right now, but you're not always sick. You're not always going to be sick, or not at least as sick as what you may be right now. Find something to be thankful for every day and focus on those things and just see what happens. Paul writes still in Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He wouldn't put it in there if he didn't think it was important. Again, I don't think it's so much of a need that he has for us to tell him thank you. I mean, it's not like we need to boost his ego, right? He needs an ego boost, so he says, I'm going to make people so that they'll tell me how good I am. He doesn't need an ego boost, but he recognizes that we need to be thankful and we need to express gratitude. And I tell you, you may be thankful for a lot of things, but if you're not the most thankful for what Jesus Christ did for you, you've got an issue, because he did something for you that nobody else can. You couldn't do it. You're the strongest person you know in your life could not do it. Jesus accomplished that for you, and he said, here is a gift. Would you receive it? With thanksgiving. Unexpressed gratitude was number one. Number two, unrealistic expectations. Let me be a little more specific. Unrealistic expectations of ourselves. We have so many ideas of how we should look, and what we should be doing career-wise, how much retirement we should have saved up, what kind of parents we should be, what kind of child we should be, what kind of spouse we should be. And the truth is that many of those expectations are often unrealistic. Unrealistic expectations of ourselves often lead to frustration, to shame, or even self-resentment. These expectations, they live in the back of our minds. We see them every day when we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves and we can take that look and go, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you went there. If we actually said them out loud, we would see how crazy they sound sometimes, because they're so unrealistic. You know, there was a time when I was way, way, way overweight. Extremely obese. And I was just, I looked at myself and I was just disgusted with myself. Well, it's not realistic for me to think that I was going to be my studly high school physique again. It was unrealistic. Okay? Although I wanted it, it was extremely unrealistic. If we said that out loud, we would see how crazy they sound sometimes. But because they're there, we're often discouraged because we can't possibly live up to some of the expectations we put on ourselves. Did you know that we're often harder on ourselves than we are with any other people? I mean, we don't go into a restaurant and tell the wait person, well, thanks for the tea, but girl, your hair's a mess. And you need to either lose some weight or buy some bigger pants, because, you know, we don't say those things. Okay, we all of us don't say those things. There may be some of you in the crowd that would say those things. I hope that I would not be one of those to say those types of things. That's a whole different sermon, though. We'll have to readdress that at some point later. You might think it, but surely you wouldn't say it. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we should settle. I'm not saying that we should have no ambitions for our lives. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Scripture's saying. We're not to just say, oh, well, I'm just going to set realistic expectations for me then and set them real low so that I know I can achieve them. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? I'm talking about unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations like I'm going to have long flowing hair again. If I had long flowing hair, I'd look just like Gallagher. And some of y'all know who Gallagher is, the pumpkin smashing dude, you know? I mean, he is bald as a baby's hind end right here, and then this long hair. It looks obscene. That's why I cut my hair. When my father came and videoed me, I was in college, and he videoed me playing basketball up at the church, and I had gotten out of the military, and I decided to let my hair grow long, and it was pretty, and I could even put it in a little ponytail. It was awesome. Okay, well, I saw myself, he videoed me playing basketball, and I saw myself bouncing down the basketball court. My hair was just flopping, and I kind of liked that. Well, I was watching it on the screen, and what I could not see in the mirror, I was able to see from a higher vantage point. I was bald on top in the back. I was real thin in the front and bald in the back, and I had no clue how that looked. And when I saw that, I thought, man, you look just like Gallagher. So I went and bought a set of shears, and I've had this hairdo ever since. And then I met my wife. She would have loved my long flowing hair. I'm not saying that we should settle, that we should have no ambition. I'm saying that we're often harder on ourselves than we should be. Did you know that you can't expect to have peace within yourself if you're not at peace with yourself? And Paul continues in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And right here, put into practice. And in the text, it's like, it's almost a continuation. It says, and then the God of all peace will be with you. It matters how we think. Paul says, think on these kind of things, the things that are true and right and noble and lovely and pure and admirable. Anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Put it into practice and the peace of God will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. There's a connection between the thoughts I have and the peace that I can experience. And the last thing I want to mention to you is unhealthy motivation. Sometimes the problem is not that we're what we're doing, but why we're doing what we're doing. Okay? It's impossible to live at peace with yourself when your primary motivation is selfishness. And Paul again writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The peace of God cannot come into my life when I'm being controlled by my flesh. When my primary motivation for doing something is what's in it for me, I cannot experience the kind of peace that God has in store for me. I will not have peace in my marriage if I'm more concerned with what my marriage can do for me. My relationship with my children will not be a meaningful one if I'm more concerned about how they make me look. And once more, Paul, back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now maybe you don't need a new job. Maybe you don't need a new wife. Maybe you don't need new kids. Maybe you just need to change your motivation from what's in it for me to how can I bless others. The home and the workplace is not the only place this happens, folks. We can come into church and think the same thing. What's in it for me? What if we stopped wondering what God has in store for me, what God can do for me, and began to think about what God could do through me? I remember a quote from somewhere, and I can't remember where. I even asked my wife this week, do you remember where I heard this? And she couldn't tell me. Obviously, it didn't impact her like it impacted me because I believe we were together when I heard it. But I'm not sure. It was very powerful to me, so I'm going to share it with you. And it went something like this. If you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, you're wrong even if it's right. If you do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons, you're wrong even if it's right. Now, I don't know if this message was for everyone today, but I know it had to be for someone. And maybe you've been walking with God for a long time, but you've never experienced the fullness of the peace that He has for you. Maybe you thought God was holding back from you like everyone else had something, but you didn't. But maybe today, you see that God's desire is to give you peace. But just maybe there's something within our heart that is interfering with the peace that He's already given you. Maybe there's something that's within us that is disturbing the inner peace. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for Your peace. Not as the world gives, Lord, but Your peace. Thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, that You desire for us to have that peace. You wouldn't have left it if You didn't want us to have it. We thank You, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for the Prince of Peace who made it all possible with His death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. We thank You that the Prince of Peace made it possible for us to experience Your peace. Lord, help us now to remove those things that disturb the inner peace within us today. Teach us. Show us. Let us examine ourselves and present that to You, Father, for inspection. Lord, we want to experience the peace that You said is ours. But so often, we find that it's not peaceful within us. Lord, give us, show us how to tap into the peace that's already there. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace, the God of peace who sent His Son, the Prince of Peace, to give us peace. It's in that name we pray it. Amen.